Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 6. Revelation, chapter 6. The message that I'm going to give to you today is a topical message, and that's where you need to be. Revelation, chapter 6. For centuries, man has been predicting the end of the world. And it seems that as time marches on, the frequency of such prophecies increase. I recall back in the late 1960s and early 1970s that it wasn't strange to see someone walking the big city streets with a sandwich board proclaiming, "The end of the world is near." And when I was in my 20s, I remember a book came out entitled 88 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 1988. But when Jesus failed to return, Edgar Wisenant went back to his drawing board, refigured, and then published a sequel, 89 Reasons Why Jesus Was Coming in 89. Well, 1.5 years ago, Harold Camping prophesied that Jesus would return to earth. But May 21st, 2011 came and went, and Jesus did not come back. So Mr. Camping rechecked his mathematical calculations and then gave the corrected date as October 21st, 2011. Still no Jesus. And most recently, we learned that the closest date for the end of the world is this coming Friday. Aren't you looking forward to that? Amen? But this prophecy is not proclaimed by a Johnny-come-lately. Rather, it is from an ancient text. No doubt you all have heard of the Mayan declaration for the end of the world. And, this prophecy regards more to the end of the calendar than it does to the actual end of the world. In fact, the Mayan scholars, the majority of them, say that for the Mayans it was just the end of an age and the beginning of another. Nonetheless, the conclusion of the calendar is being interpreted as the end of the world. As just mentioned, in actuality, it's the end of the Mayan long count. And according to my internet source, and I quote, "The long count is represented as a five-place notation system of ascending cycles, one of which is called a baktun. Many people believe that the full cycle of the long count is complete when 13 baktuns have passed since the beginning of the creation of this current universe, which is identified as the fourth creation in the Maya story of the creation, the Popol Vuh. That date, currently of such great interest to those anticipating the end of days, will occur on December 21st, 2012, A.D. End of quote. Well, I also read somewhere that it was at 11 a.m. on the 21st, so you can just mark that down. Well, that all being said, many moderns see this as the end of the world. A lot of people believe it. Now, I thought it necessary to address this prophecy from a biblical standpoint. Oh, not that the Bible has anything to say about the Mayan long count, but the present situation just doesn't line up with Bible prophecy. Hence, I would have to conclude that the Mayans, well, at least the interpretation of the Mayan calendar, is wrong. And let us see if the Bible confirms or denies the end of the world can just be 5 days away from now. I want to speak to you a message which I've entitled Doomsday Again. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. And Lord, we come together in the name of the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. And we ask that the songs have been received to your glory, that you hear our prayers. Lord, you'd receive our worship. And we ask that you bless the preaching of your word today, that which you've laid upon my heart to share. And Lord, we ask that you would stir every heart here. And that God, those that are lost, that they might be saved. And those of us who are saved might be encouraged to serve you and to be found faithful. Lord, we pray that you bless not only here, but as the word goes forth all around the world today. And we pray that you bless it, and we know that you will, because you said your word shall not return unto you void. So we thank you for what you're going to do. And so we commit all this to you today. We love you, we honor you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this Friday is supposed to be Doomsday again. Well, we'll see if it is or not, at least according to the Scripture. My message is really going to be a very simple message. And I just simply ask a couple questions, and really is, why isn't it the end of the world this Friday? Well, this is, I'm just giving you my take on it, and if you have a different biblical perspective, you certainly have that right to share that perspective. But I'm going to offer you two basic reasons, and minor subpoints below them in regard to why this cannot be the end of the world on Friday, as they are proclaiming it shall be. I've asked you to turn to Revelation 6, and the reason I've done so is because of these two things that I'm going to bring out, major points. First of all, concerns itself with the tribulation period, as we understand it, and then with the millennial reign. In Revelation chapter 6 down through chapter 19, we have a description given to us by John, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he wrote those many years ago, of future events, I believe, deal with the end times. Now, some people will spiritualize it. Some people will say it really doesn't mean this, it doesn't mean that, and the numbers don't mean anything. If that's what you do, that's your privilege. I take the Bible as literal as I can, as long as I can, and when it can't be literal, then certainly we'll understand it from a different perspective. And so I'm going to offer you from a biblical interpretation why it is that it can't be Friday, because simply from the aspect of the tribulation period. And I hope that you're familiar with that term, tribulation period. When the tribulation period, which is the great tribulation, is going to come upon the world at the end of times, but not at the end time, but at the end of times, there's going to be a great judgment poured about upon this world. And in this tribulation experience, there's so much detail, and we're not going to try to hit everything. But I just want you to just reason a few of these things. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll find things about the seven seals and the seven trumpets and the seven thunders and so forth. I'm asking you to turn to Revelation 6 because I want you to just notice the sixth seal. And it's found in chapter 6 and in verse 12. Now, keep in mind, if this is the end of the world on Friday, this has to take place before Friday. So you're going to have a very bad week if Friday is the day. Verse 12. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. I'll tell you, they see God coming back, and they're scared, and they hide. And if it is the end of the world, as is proclaimed, these things will take place prior to that. Well, you have the seven seals, as I mentioned. You have the seven trumpets. Turn, if you would, to chapter 9. Again, I don't have time to look at all these things. You can read the book on your own time frame. I just point out the fifth trumpet, Revelation chapter 9. And in verse 1, the Scripture tells us, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. See that? And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. What a horrible part of the tribulation period that's be brought forth here with this judgment and the locust and the sting. But I just want you to note the time frame that was mentioned there within the text in verse 5, where it says that they should be tormented how long? 5 months. If Friday is the end of the world, then we're just at the end. Well, depending on how you see it, but where are you going to cram in those 5 months? It cannot be done. I still look forward to, I don't look forward to it, but I know that it's going to occur, that there's going to be a 5 months of torment. And that's not going to be squeezed in 5 days, is it? Now, if you want to spiritualize it. And some people do take these things as just pictures and symbols. That's your privilege. I see it as a five-month time of torment. And that's not going to happen before Friday. As a matter of fact, you might go on and you'll read about a reference to the seven thunders. We don't have any knowledge of that. I think if God revealed the seven thunders, we could pinpoint a time to it. And so God kept that secret, so John wasn't allowed to write about the seven thunders. But they occur somehow. There's something that's going on. So you have seven seals, and you have seven trumpets, and you have seven thunders. And there is also a mention, and turn if you would to Revelation chapter 11. In chapter 11, there's a mention of two witnesses. Have you ever heard about the great two witnesses? And Revelation chapter 11 in verse 3 says that I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. That's 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. God said during the tribulation period he's going to send forth two witnesses that are going to prophesy for 3.5 years. I've not seen any witnesses of you. Are you aware of two witnesses that would fit the biblical description? I don't know of them. I don't think we're in the tribulation period yet. I think the tribulation period's coming. And by the way, we're pre-trib rapturists. We believe that the rapture will happen prior to the tribulation. I have a good friend that believes that it'll happen at the end of the tribulation period. And whatever your take is, the tribulation period, from my view, hasn't occurred yet. And when it does, there will be two witnesses, 3.5 years. Where are you going to get that? Where are these people going to be honed in here? Well, at the end of that, if you go down in chapter 11, look at verse 11, these two witnesses are killed. And in verse 11 it says, after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. In the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. I just submit unto you, these guys, we don't know anything about them preaching for 3.5 years. And if they were, and if they did, they would have to be killed, and they'd have to be risen again before Friday. Because they only have 3.5 days. That means these two guys, if they're here somewhere, even in spiritual analogy, would have to happen to them in spiritual analogy within a day and a half. Because they're going to be in it. Well, I guess you could say, well, 3.5 days don't mean 3.5 days. There's just not much time, is there, to fit biblical prophecy into the Mayan long count and the destruction of the world. So is the world going to be destroyed? I believe not. I think we'll be here next Sunday. Now, there might be differences in our world to a degree. Who knows what's going to happen between now and then? But it's certainly not going to be a destruction of the world and the end of the world, as many people believe it. And by the way, they're having end-of-the-world parties. You can go to these things and celebrate the end of the world. Well, they're going to wake up the next day with hangovers because they're not going to be destroyed this Friday. It's just not going to happen, is it? Not if the Bible is true. And I believe the Bible is true. And then if you would go to Revelation chapter 13, again, there's so much that could be said about the book of Revelation, the tribulation period, all the details that are listed there. But I just want to make mention of that first beast that reigns in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5. It says that there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There it is again, 3.5 years. The first beast of the tribulation period. And the way we understand the tribulation period, it's a 7-year period broken up into two sections of 3.5 years. First half and the second half. And during the first half of the tribulation period, this first beast reigns. And he reigns for 42 months. That's 3.5 years. Well, if you read the rest of the book of Revelation in chapter 13, you'll find that there's a mention there about another beast that rises up. And by the way, you have the mark of the beast. You haven't seen that lately, have you? Unless it's a U-scan up at Kroger's. Which, you know, when that first came out, a lot of people avoided those things. Well, that's the mark of the beast. I don't think that it is, but it could well be a precursor of the mark of the beast. But I've not seen a mark of the beast. Have you? Have you seen any of the events of the tribulation? And we're just touching this very, very brief highlights. But if you know anything about the book of Revelation, we haven't seen these things come about. We haven't seen this thing develop to make it the end of the world. And again, well, we understand. And turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 24. And we'll be coming back to Revelation, so you might want to keep a finger there. But again, if you're familiar with the basic understanding of the end times and how we view these things and understand of Scripture, during the tribulation period, we know that the first beast is going to commit what's called the abomination of desolation, which generally we see that as halfway through the tribulation period. That abomination of desolation was spoken of and prophesied by Daniel the prophet back in Daniel chapter 11. Jesus makes reference to it, and that's where I've asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 24. And pick it up there in verse 15. See if these things have happened or are going to happen in the next 5 days. And even then, that would only be halfway through the trib. So we'd still have a problem, wouldn't we? Matthew 24:15. When therefore ye shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field turn back to take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as is not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Again, most people view this as happening halfway through the tribulation. Now, we call it the Great Tribulation Period, and it's 7 years of tribulation. But the first 3.5 years, though it be difficult, is not near as severe as the second half. And that's why Jesus says here, when you see the abomination, you're going to see the greatest tribulation this world has ever seen. And those last three and a half years are very, very intense in its tribulation upon the world. Well, where are you going to get that 3.5 years? Has it happened yet? Are you going to cram that in? I just don't see it happening before this Friday. And so Jesus is not speaking about our day and time right now. Well, even after the abomination of desolation, 3.5 years after that, we see Jesus is going to return to this earth. Now, that's still not the end of the world. But pick it up there in Matthew chapter 24 and look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that's where we read in Revelation, where they're going into the dens of the earth, and in the cave saying, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne." At the end of that tribulation period, at the end of that 7 years, especially after that 3.5 years of great judgment, Jesus is coming again. Now, I made mention earlier, go if you would to Revelation chapter 13. I made mention earlier, we'll just read these verses since I did talk about it a moment ago, but I do want to remind you the Scripture is very clear that there is what is called the mark of the beast. I think it comes out in the second half of the tribulation period, and I think that's you'll see the repercussions of all that at that time. Just in, for your reading, Revelation chapter 13, verse 16, and this second beast then says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save or except he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is number of a man, his number is 666. And you all know that that's 666. Now how that applies and how that unfolds, nobody really knows, and we can guess and take stabs at it. We don't really know for sure, and it just shows that we don't have all the wisdom that we think that we do. But we know for sure there's going to be a mark of the beast. It just hasn't happened yet, has it? And well, then go to chapter 16, book of Revelation. Again, I'm just submitting to you that the end of the world cannot be Friday if these Bible events are true and if they're literal. And I think they're literal, and therefore I believe they're true as well. Revelation chapter 16, we mentioned the vials and the trumpets, and or the seals and the trumpets and the thunders. There's also seven vials, and I'm just going to direct your attention to the fourth and the fifth vial in chapter 16. Pick it up there in verse 8, and I do this just so you can see about some of the events that just hasn't happened. 16:8, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, and which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him the glory. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." And we just see horrendous suffering And, you know, despite all that, all they do is still go against God. They still hate him. Some people will say, well, if God would just do a miracle, people would be saved. It's not true. They saw miracles of all sorts when Jesus walked on the earth, but they didn't believe him. If one would rise from the dead, Abraham speaks to the rich man, and Lazarus tells Lazarus, the rich man, he said, you know, though one rose from the dead, they won't believe. If they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they'll not believe there. And even with the judgment of God, they see God coming. You know what? They curse God. They see God coming through the skies. They hide in the dens of the earth. They're not repenting. They're not following after him. They're not falling on their knees. That's the corruption of the human heart. But then if you would go to Revelation chapter 19, and what we have is, then it would be the return of Jesus at the end of the tribulation period. And it's found in Revelation chapter 19. And the thing is, this is just going to have to happen before Friday, if it's the end of the world Friday. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. At the end of that tribulation period, Jesus Christ comes back to this earth riding on a white horse. And they see him coming. Now, I believe, according to the Scripture, and we'll look at these verses in just a second, is what's called the millennial reign. We'll just read the verses, and we'll be off of that point. But just you think about the book of Revelation, you think about the description of the Great Tribulation period. Do you really see evidences of this, of these things already taking place? I don't. Do I see them being fulfilled by Friday? Not in the least. I just don't see how in the world it can happen. And so for that reason alone, just the tribulation period, I have to reject the matter that Friday is the end of the world and everything is going to be destroyed. But if you look into Revelation chapter 20, the other one would be the millennial reign. Now, and I've got a good Christian brethren and godly men. I fellowship with these guys. They don't believe in the millennial and an actual event. I do. I'm not an all-millennialist. I am a millennialist. I believe that the millennium will occur. I believe it's literal to be upon the earth. But I have good brethren that says it isn't. Well, in that case, they could say, well, then the millennial reign's not really an issue with Friday because there's not one there. Okay, well, I'll give you that, but how are you going to deal with all the other things we've looked at? But if the millennial reign is real, which I believe it is, and if it's literal, which I believe it is, then you certainly can't cram 1,000 years before Friday, can you? So, Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, on that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him that he should no more deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads, nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part of the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. That hasn't happened. It can't happen. Not yet. If we understand the Bible correctly, the tribulation period must occur first, then the 1,000-year reign. Now, if you're an all-millennialist, okay, you can say, well, that's already happened, and then it's all boiled down, this is the end of the world. I grant you that could be true if you interpret the Scripture that way. I just don't see it that way. Also, and so for that reason, I would have to say Friday's not going to happen because you can't get 1,000 years in there before then. So the tribulation period is a big problem for me. The millennial reign, 1,000 years, is a big problem for me. And also, I just remind you that we're told in the Scripture in Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, that watch ye therefore, you neither know the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. I don't think they know Friday is going to be it, especially at 11:11. It's not likely to happen. And so I submit unto you why it isn't the end of the world. Now I have two more points, but they're not near as long as the first. So don't be afraid. Let me submit unto you if it was the end of the world. I mean, if it was really the end of the world, as people were saying, this whole thing's just going to blow up and it'll be done, end of the mind, long count and all that, and that's what they meant. If it really was, what's the Bible have to say about it? Then expect this to happen. If the end of the world's Friday, Revelation chapter 20, pick it up in verse 7, expect this to occur. Whether you're an all-millennial or not, whether you're a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, all-mill, post-mill, whatever you are, you know what? If Friday is the end of the world, expect this. Verse 7. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, and to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on upon the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, if Friday's the end of the world, you can mark it down. The devil will be set free. Fire's going to come down as the armies come against Jerusalem, and God is going to have victory, and the world's going to be destroyed, and there's going to be the great white throne judgment. You say, well, it could happen. Yeah, it could. I just don't think it's going to happen Friday. In fact, I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when. I don't think you do either. But if Friday's the end of the world, then you can read the Bible and you can see what's next. That's what the Scriptures tell us. Now, let me give you my third point. See, I told you that was easy. What to do if it isn't the end of the world? Or rather, it is the end of the world. Okay, let's assume if Friday is the end of the world. It's going to happen. Boom, it's over. Revelation 27 down through verse 15 that we read. It's all over. What if that really happens? What do I do? Oh, I quit work and live it up. Well, of course not. Of course not. What should you do as a Christian if Friday is the end of the world? I would remind you that Jesus spoke of in a parable in Luke chapter 19 and told his servants to occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Turn, if you would, to Matthew 5. You know what's happened in the past when people have prophesied it back in the 1840s? They said Jesus was coming again. You know what they did? They sold everything, went out, moved to a mountaintop, waited for Jesus. I don't know how many times I've heard since I've been alive about Jesus coming again, and these people sell everything, quit their jobs, and move to a location and looking for Jesus to come back. Well, I can't remember when it was. It wasn't that long ago where that hellbop comet was going by and those people quit and they were waiting for that flying saucer to pick them up at the tail of that comet. Should you, if Friday's the end of the world, should you quit your job? Should you give it up? Go live in a monastery? Sell everything? I think you ought to occupy till you come. I've asked you to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is neither good; it is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all them that are in the house. Let your light therefore so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You know what you ought to do if Friday's the end of the world? You ought to do what you always do. And you ought to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You ought to live for Him. You ought to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if Friday's it, it's it. But be faithful. Be true. That's what you ought to be now. That's what I ought to be now. Don't quit. Don't sell everything. Don't party down thinking, oh, this is it. Now I'm going out with a bang. Why would you want to go out like that? Christian, occupy till they come. You be the best light you can be. You be the best salt you can be. And if Friday is it, then it's it. But you've been faithful. But if it's not it, and it, I don't believe it is, then that faithfulness will count on it. That means the rest of your life you be faithful. Be true. Now what if you're lost? If you're here outside of Jesus Christ, you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. If you died right now, you split hell wide open. What should you be concerned about by Friday? Well, did you read about the great white throne judgment? How death and hell were cast up and all the dead stood before God in judgment before God? And they were judged, every man according to their works. They were cast in the lake of fire. You know what that means as a lost person? Come Friday, you'll not only die physically, but you'll stand before God at the great white throne judgment after that and be cast into hell forever. Wow. That gives you 5 days. 5 days. You know what you need to do? Very simply, I just extend a general call that Jesus always extended. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe. You need to understand the Scripture is true. You need to repent. And you need to call upon the Lord to be saved. What do I mean when I talk about the matter of salvation? Because there are different perspectives and different views. Let me just remind you, I believe the Bible teaches that all men are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Scripture says. And the penalty for that sin is death. The Scripture also tells us that. And so we know because you're a sinner, you're going to die. Well, you're going to die physically, but you're also dead spiritually. And if you're not born again, you're going to continue in that way. You're going to die. You're going to go to hell. You're going to be brought up before the great white throne and be cast into the lake of fire. That's not a very good future for you. So, sinner friend, you need to recognize, yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, I'm doomed. Yes, I'm damned. And the Bible teaches that man is depraved. That is, man is dead in trespasses and sins. That he's not going to be able to do anything good. There is none righteous, no, not one. And that a man will not submit to himself to the law of God, neither indeed can be. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. And so you can't bring your own offerings and try to, well, I'll try to make God love me. You can't. And you can walk an aisle, and I can dunk you in a baptistry, and you can eat communion and all that. You'll die and go to hell outside of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only Savior. You're a sinner. You need the Savior. And so John chapter 3, verse 3 records where Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. That's a new birth. It's just not a cliche that came out of the 70s and 80s of born again, born again, born again. It's biblical, and it's being born from above. Sinners are dead in trespasses and sins, and they need new life that comes only from God. And only God can give us that life by the work of His Spirit. And He will work it in conjunction with repentance and faith. I'll tell you, my friend, God is merciful toward sinners, and I'm glad that He is. God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners. Christ died for us. And I say to you very clearly today, if you're lost, you have till Friday, because it'll be too late. And if God works in your heart, convicts you, you're being drawn of God unto Him, you need to repent and believe. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, apart from works. Paul told the Romans, he says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He told the Ephesians, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so, sinner, you have till Friday to repent and believe. You have to repent, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. God commands all men everywhere to repent. It's recorded in Acts 17. You must repent, you must believe. And so John 3:16, don't you like that verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what? You have to repent and believe. And faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. So, Christian, what do? We just have to occupy until we come. We need to be salt and light. Sinner, your time's coming down. If Friday's the last day. But if it isn't, you know what? There's still going to come death to you. I don't know when it shall be. And it'll be too late. Your greatest need is to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while you have opportunity. Let me say this and I'm finished. Permit me to say that although man may set dates and reset the dates when they find out they're wrong, that doesn't mean the Bible's in error. We're told that Jesus is coming again. And we read about the great tribulation period. And we know about the end of the world. These things will come to pass. And good people and good solid Baptists might differ as to how and when, but they're going to come to pass. And one of these days, the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. And the question is, are you prepared? Are you ready? If you should die today, are you ready? If the end of the world is Friday, are you ready? If the end of the world isn't for another, I think it's at least 1,007 years, but if it's not for another 2,000 years, you're still going to die one of these days. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you know Jesus? And if you're saved, well, you have the preparation. God's given you eternal life. Then you want to be found faithful till death. I urge you today, sinner, that you might be saved. And we who are saved might be found faithful. And I just ask you to look into the Scriptures and say, hey, does that compare? Can the world end, as they're saying on Friday? I don't think so. But that still means the truth is here. I still need to be faithful. And it's going to happen one of these days. I'd like for us to stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I appreciate your patience. Thank you for your kind attention. And I pray that God's spoken to your heart, encouraged you in some way as a believer. And I pray that if you're lost, that God is speaking to your heart, convicting you, drawing you, so that you might come to Jesus and be saved even today. Right where you are, would you repent and call upon Him? Would you trust Him by faith? Would you be saved? I urge you to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for allowing me to share your word. And I pray that you would just speak it to every heart. Saving the lost and strengthening the saved. And we give you the honor and the glory. Lord, we commit it to you. In Jesus' name, amen. What number, Brother Paul?